Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of Season 4, Minute 96 of Season 4 Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to close off another season, this will be his fourth in a row closing off with me, is Jay Cluett of the Deep Blue Sea Pod, and also of the Con Air Pod, and a whole bunch of other things, but maybe we'll get to that later today. So welcome back, Jay.
It had to be me. Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
Yes, it did have to be you. You were correct. Very good. So minute 96 begins with the credit for a huge thanks to Sal Horn, and ends with Leo the Lion roaring goodbye to everyone. Or at least that's my interpretation of what he's saying. I don't know. I don't speak Lion. Do you speak Lion?
Not fluent. I think he's saying, like, go home. It's over.
No, he's saying go home and come back in a day and a half for a new season. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe. Probably.
Maybe. You never know. No, he's actually telling people come back next year to see Misery. You know, that's the next.
Was it just... Well, I mean, when they first started using him, it was probably a case of, you can stay sat down, the film's about to start playing again.
Yeah.
Don't leave where you came in, dig it out, do what you like, I'm a lion, I don't care.
Yeah, more or less. So this minute, we're sort of cheating because we only have 27 seconds, so it's
That's
guess.
That's not our fault.
No, it's not our fault, but, you know, it's the way it is. I mean, you know, last season we did a minute and something, and today we're doing it the other way. Around. So this way everyone can come listen to us, you know, on this lovely Saturday morning and listening to, you know, another episode instead of, you know, crunching it together with yesterday's episode. So, you know, as always, we'll first talk about this minute, which there isn't that much to talk about. You know, I like the fact that it does have the special thanks to Sal Horn for his inspiration here. You know, I've read a little bit about the meeting between Rob Reiner and Sal Horn and Alan Horn, which brought this whole idea together. Rob Reiner wanted to hire Nora Ephron to write a different type of movie, and you know the two of them just started talking, and they came up with this idea based on something that Rob Reiner had had happened to him not long beforehand. You know, he was, again, I remember on the first episode, you brought a different perspective on this, Jay. Somehow, Rob Reiner was in a place with Alan Horn. Maybe it was at a party. Maybe it was at their house. It's never really clear exactly where this took place. But basically, they happened to bring up the idea of, you know, how people met. And basically, Rob Reiner then threw the ball to Sal Horn and said, "Hey, how did you meet your wife?" You know, and Sal Horn must have been, you know, a man in his 60s, 70s, if not later at that point. And Rob Reiner describes it that, you know, his eyes lit up as he told the story. Now, we see this story of how Sal Horn met his wife. You know, that's the first documentary couple at the beginning of the movie. So, again, we're talking maybe 30 seconds or whatever it is to tell the story on film, you know, but he said that he saw his eyes light up to be able to tell, you know, his unique story of the whole thing. And that sparked something in Rob Reiner that he wanted to, you know, it started giving him ideas. You know, he had just, he was married to Penny Marshall for many years. And then I think they were at this point, maybe divorced already for 10 years, you know, and he was back in the single mode. You know, didn't see any, you know, potential marriage in the future or anything like that. So it got him thinking about this whole thing. And then when he had this meeting a few days, weeks, months later with Nora Ephron, so, you know, he said, well, what about doing something like this? And he said, how about, you know, two people who meet in some strange way? And then, you know, they started working on the whole idea, and Nora thought it was a great idea. And the two of them, you know, eventually, you know, sat down and created the whole outline of this movie, which in the original aspect of the movie, that Harry and Sally were not going to get together at the end of the movie. And only, you know, during the course of filming, when Rob Reiner then met his future next wife, who he was introduced to by Barry Sonnenfeld, who was the DP. Then he started thinking, well, maybe we should try and have them get together. And then they worked that out also in the script, you know, and that's how the whole thing. So, I mean, I love the fact that this whole movie, the basis of it came from a small little conversation.
And then I just kind of checked into her CV and I forgot that she wrote Silkwood.
Yes.
Early on. And then since then, she's done nothing but romance and comedy.
That's right. But
so I feel like she kind of purged all of her seriousness in the very serious Silkwood. And since then, it's been like, I don't want to do that again. That was too much. That was too traumatic. And I'm just going to go and have fun with my writing. But you mentioned that they weren't necessarily going to be together in the first draft of the script, Harry and Sally. Do you think that would be a better end to the film?
No.
They didn't get together?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I disagree.
I don't think it would have been as satisfying.
I think that the fact that they get together betrays the entire conceit of the film, which the what it's famous for is the combination of can men and women be friends, or do you only want to have sex with your friends? The fact that they get together kind of shows that they can't be friends. Like if me as a straight male have a single female friend, I can't be friends with her. But they get together. I think they should get together.
I think the idea here was that they were trying to show that it is possible. You know, the sex gets in the way, but it brought them together in the end. You know, it shows that they can't just be friends.
But I don't think that's the correct message for the film to be sending. So I think that it is possible for men and women to be friends without sex getting in the way.
You do believe it is possible?
I do. I have many female friends.
No, but I think it goes along the fact of, you know, are they close confidants?
Yeah, some of them are.
Where you will discuss intimate details of your life?
Yeah.
Okay. Does Aisha know this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, my wife knows.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe that's just, I can do that. Maybe the makers of this film don't have those kind of relationships. I don't know. I think that showing men and women seemingly cannot be friends is not the message I think I approve of this film sending.
So what do you think the what do you think the message should be then?
Well, I don't think they should have got together. I think they should have realized that they were better off as friends.
How do you think it should have ended? That they didn't get together and that was it? That would be just a very down ending.
I would say you end with him rushing to her at the airport, have given the whole speech, they get married, then you cut to their little camera piece of like, and that's how we met. And then 3 months later, we realized it wasn't going to work. And we decided to stay friends, and the camera pans out to their new couples that they're with.
I don't know. You don't get me on that one.
I agree it's less satisfying, but I feel like it would be more realistic.
But the movie wouldn't be as memorable, would it?
I think it would be. I don't think you're taking away anything that's memorable. You're just adding like 25 seconds of filming. Everything that's in there stays in there.
No, I don't know about that. Because I think part of the whole idea is that, you know, there is a happy ending here. You know, whether it's just a Hollywood ending or not is a separate issue. But the idea is, you know, that if they wouldn't get together in the end, it just would. I don't think it would be as satisfying or as fun.
I agree, it wouldn't be satisfying. I disagree that it's not a happy ending.
But it wouldn't be as memorable from that same reason.
I think it would be just as memorable for a different reason. That it's a rom-com where they don't end up together.
Well, okay, you can use that as a springboard for they've tried many rom-coms after that where they don't get together, and I don't think any of those are as satisfying. Can you think of one that jumps out at you that you would say, okay, this is a great rom-com even though they don't get together at the end?
I don't think there are many great rom-coms, but
you've given me five.
Breakup, I remember.
Okay, yeah, I can go back and tell you what they were.
I can't remember what they are. I gave you 10 actually. If I recall,
you might have given me 10, but we only used only five of them count. Okay. All right. Okay. So you have four weddings and a funeral, which okay. You know that
they get together.
They do get together. Okay.
Probably does stay together.
Right. Crazy Stupid Love.
they get together. Two couples get together.
Okay. Yeah. Romance and cigarettes.
Oh, I can't remember how that ends.
Neither can I. Love Actually. A lot of people get together.
Yep, some that shouldn't.
Okay, that's true. But, you know. And About Time.
They stay together. Yeah.
All right, so there you go. See, so those right? are theoretically, you know, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, those were your top five traditional rom-coms. I know you had the list of the non-traditional ones, which I don't have a copy of. I probably could find it if I really was willing to look for it. But
I've got it written down somewhere. Yeah, but I have no idea what.
Right, exactly. But the bottom line is that you know, I don't think there are as many successful rom-coms where the couple don't get together at the end.
The only one I can think of is The Breakup, which is about a couple not being together.
Correct. I was thinking about that movie also, but that's like the opposite. That's like a backwards rom-com.
Yeah. That's when Vince left Jennifer.
Yeah, something like that.
I assume they had character names, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
That's true.
I just think that it would be every aspect of the film would still be there, but I'm not going to die on this hill. This isn't like my I hate this film because this is just off the back of what you said about they weren't going to be together in the initial script. I think they should have stuck with that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think, yeah.
Right. What can you do? That's the way it is. This is the movie that they gave us, for better or for worse. Whether it's right or wrong, we can debate, you know, for quite a long time. But the bottom line is that the movie works the way that it comes. You know, I don't think, you know, you might say that maybe it would have been better if they didn't get together. But do you think it's bad that they got together in the end? Do you think it makes the movie less memorable or less enjoyable?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just think it goes against that initial premise, which is fine.
Ah, okay. All right, so it goes against the original premise, but again, you got to take into consideration that Rob Reiner went through a change in his life while he was making the movie, and that made him, you know, it gave him, was it rose-colored glasses? I think that's how you would call it.
Yeah.
You know, so he was looking at it a little differently.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, I've mentioned many times over the course of this entire season that there are, you know, we have all of these different documentary couples, and the only two that we know the true story, that we know who they're based on, is the first one with Sal Horn, and then the summer camp ones, which are Nora Ephron's parents. I've scoured the internet trying to find information about the others, and all I could find was that they're people that Nora Ephron or Rob Reiner knew, and that was it. You know, I couldn't get any substantial, which I'm a little disappointed about, because it would have been so much more interesting to know who each of these stories is told about. You know, they would say, oh, this was Rob Reiner's first cousin, or this was, you know, it doesn't really matter who.
It's all going to be people that the audience doesn't know.
The audience doesn't know Sal Horn, or doesn't know Nora Ephron's parents. You know, we don't know either of them.
This is the point I'm trying to make, where the watchers of the film, like every time I watch this film prior to for this podcast, I didn't know that was who the first couple were based on.
It didn't make a difference. Right, of course not. It doesn't take away from it, but I think it adds to it to know.
No, it's just interesting for the purposes of a podcast.
That could be what it comes down to. Yeah. All right, I'll give you that one. Yes, that helps for those of us who actually care. Basically, the rest of this minute is just the rest of this 27 seconds is just the very tail end of the credits. You know, we have the you know, that the soundtrack's available on records, cassettes, and compact discs, which I assume that today they no longer write all of that. They probably just say you can download it at
http://.
No, they probably just say you can get it on iTunes or something like that, you know, or Apple
Pod. Scan this QR code.
Yeah, exactly.
Scan the code before it disappears. It's gone. You missed it.
Yeah, exactly. But what I found really interesting was, you know, they usually have the disclaimer at the end of the movie, you know, about the characters and incidents, you know, that if they're based on anyone real or whatever. But they say something very, very strange here. It says here, the characters and incidents portrayed and the names used herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or biography of any person is purely coincidental and unintentional. So you know, the fact that they add the word in there by that it's not related to the biography of anybody, you know, even though, again, as we just mentioned, at least two of the stories here are based on real biographies, you know, of how people met.
It's all just the lawyers probably suggest they put that in there.
For, it's lawyer mumbo jumbo. For sure. I know that. I just thought it was interesting. I've never paid enough attention to see if it says also biography of any person. You know, I think it would just.
Sure, I know that's in every film.
It could be, but I assume that the, you know, saying the name and character of any person is purely coincidental. That should already, you know, clarify that, okay, we don't care about the, you know, we don't need to go into detail about the biography of that person either.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Yeah.
That I don't know. But whatever, it's a fun thing to see. And then you know, we get the copyright 1989 Castle Rock Entertainment. Jay and I discussed that in detail back on episode one. You know, 95 episodes ago. Then we have a Columbia Pictures release, and then the screen fades to black, and then we have just 3 seconds of the lion roaring once again. You know, and anyone, you know, can interpret that however they want. You know, like Jay and I tried at the beginning of this episode, but whether it worked or not doesn't really make a difference. If anyone out there speaks lion, feel free to tell us. You know, how
Simba, if you're listening.
That's right.
Mufasa.
That's right.
I love film lions.
Leo. There you go.
There we go.
Leo the lion.
I'm a Leo.
Yes, you are. So, but you can't speak lion, so that's. Or you said you're not fluent in lion. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm a failure as a Leo.
I didn't say you're a failure. I just, you know, you're.
I just.
Ah, okay. Well.
You're the only one who did.
Okay. All right. That's fair then. You know, if that's the way you want to look at it, then that's okay. All right. So now we get to part of the fun part of the show, where everyone gets to first hear. You know, my top fives of the three top fives that we did over the course of this season. You know, we have Meg Ryan Monday, Harry Burns Hump Day, and Weekend Romance. And Jay gets to guess two things. You know, he gets to guess, first of all, who he thinks are going to be in my top five.
Guess yours.
Well, you don't need to if you don't want to.
No, I will. I forgot I had to guess yours. I remember I had to guess.
You don't have to.
I get to guess.
It's not a question of have to.
I get to.
You get to. That's right. You get.
I had prepared the communal list.
Did you really? Interesting. Very nice.
Well.
Okay. I see it.
I have been preparing.
What do you mean? You've been preparing? You've been marking it down as you've been listening?
I know that there's always a time to make notes during your podcast.
Okay, well, I it's appreciative. You know, I do take that. That's very kind of you. Very nice.
There we go. And before in rebuttal to one of your off the beaten track stories recently, where you mentioned that you have a Sam Malone-esque black book list. I just want to say I have a similar list. Mine is called My Wedding Certificate. It's just my wife's name.
That's cheating.
Counts. So your top five Meg Ryan performances.
Yes.
This is tricky. I have not watched any more Meg Ryan films since we recorded, so I am still at five. And I guess that your top five is not the same as my five that I have seen. So
only two of our movies
meaning, absolutely
only two of our movies intersect.
That's very helpful. Okay, so I'm gonna guess you probably don't have can't remember the name of Proof of Life on there. It's not a very good film. And apologies to Roger. Let's see, I'm going to say five, Top Gun, four, Sleeps in Seattle, three, You've Got Mail, two, Joe versus Volcano, one, When Harry Met Sally.
Is that really what you think of me?
I don't know. I know you, I'm guessing the one is correct. Oh, so I don't know what she's been good in.
Okay, that is fair. That is fair.
Oh, no, no. One, when Harry, sorry, two, Courage Under Fire. Then, yeah, so just throw Joe versus Volcano out the window. Put Courage Under Fire in there, and number two is there.
Interesting, interesting, Jake.
Because I know you, I've heard you talk.
I was gonna say, have you listened to, you know, my comments about things in order to give you you know, an idea as to where things are? Apparently, you have. You know, I said, "Oh, that's a great pick."
I've listened to every episode of the show. Yeah, well, but you've said that a bunch of times. To like, I've heard what 19 different people, at least, people give their Meg Ryan lists. That's a lot of films to remember.
Yes. Well, again, there aren't that many on the list. I mean, we'll go through the list shortly, but you know, there aren't that many on the list. So
okay, well, that's fine.
Okay, so my number five is When a Man Loves a Woman.
I forgot that one existed.
That's right. That's you know, Meg Ryan, Oscar bait. That didn't work. You know, she plays against type. You know, she's a woman who has a drinking problem, and her husband tries to help her, you know, played by Andy Garcia. I'm a big fan of that movie.
Okay.
Number two, I'm sorry, number four. Number four is Innerspace.
So, that's what we had in common.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know Jay is not a fan of Dennis Quaid, but he still likes Innerspace, so that's great for me. But I think you like it because of Meg Ryan, not because of Dennis Quaid.
I mean, it was on my list because it was one of the five Meg Ryan films I'd seen. So.
Yeah, but it was your number two,
right? Because I didn't really like the other three.
Okay. All right, understandable. All right, my number three was Sleepless in Seattle.
Okay.
My number two is Courage Under Fire. Good that you actually did your research there, Jay.
Okay.
I loved her in Courage Under Fire. I love the movie. I think it's a great movie, and she plays so much against type there, but it works. You know, she's a very believable character, and also because of the nature of the movie, she gets to really show how great of an actor she is. Because in every one of those Rashomon type scenes, she plays her character in a different way. You know, because like someone will say, "Oh, she was scared," and someone will say, "No, she was courageous," and someone would say, "She was, you know, she was apathetic," whatever it is. So each time she had to play the character a little differently. So I like the way that they did that in that one. And number one is, obviously, When Harry Met Sally. So, very good, Jay. You were very close. Top Gun is just off the – it was right below at number six. But you know, she unfortunately didn't have that much to – she was very memorable in it, but she didn't have very much to do with it. It was, you know, I've mentioned this before. I'm upset that they didn't bring her back for – the second Top Gun, and they had to, you know, bring in a whole new character instead. You know, I think she would have been a little better, but I sort of understand the whole idea that, you know, Goose's son is even more distraught because he doesn't have either of his parents. So,
yes,
you know, I can understand from that perspective.
I mean, do you know if Meg Ryan just didn't want to come back?
I don't know. She didn't tell me. No. You know, I didn't.
Okay, fair enough.
She didn't respond to my, to my, you know, emails, Twitters, phone calls. You know, everything that I, you know, tried to get in touch with her with. So, yeah. All right. So now we go to Jay's take on what are the top five movies that were listed. Now, there were a total of 20 movies listed on this, you know, throughout this podcast that people mentioned of Meg Ryan's that were listed somewhere on this chart of, you know, top fives. So that's still pretty impressive.
That feels like all of her movies.
It's not all of her movies, but it's a lot of them. You know, I've seen more than 20 Meg Ryan movies because I actually think I've seen all of them. Because before I did this, before I started this season, I made sure to go sit and watch all of them. You know, because I every so often I have time to watch movies here and there. You know, so. and a lot of them are not good. Especially, I mean, she had good movies in the 80s and 90s, and then after that, I can't say there's any movie that I saw of hers that I said, wow, this was great. I think, like, You've Got Mail was the last one that I really enjoyed of hers.
Oh, she has 35 films, so just count.
Okay. Wait, 35 films?
Not counting archive footage.
Or is it, like, TV shows also and stuff like that? See, that's one of the things that annoys me about IMDb. IMDb puts everything together now. You know, they used to have separate TV and
movies. That's why I went on Wikipedia. On Wikipedia, they separate, so I canceled on there. I didn't count Maverick because that's just archive footage.
Right. Okay, so 35. So they see there are 15 movies that don't appear here on this list.
Yes, I would suggest skipping those films.
Probably.
That would be my guess.
Probably.
Okay, so my prediction for the communal top five, I've got number five, Courage Under Fire. And number four, you've got Mail. Number three, Bill vs. the Volcano. Number two, Top Gun. And number one, When Harry Met Sally. But Top Gun number two, I know it's only a small performance, but I think a lot of people would have had that lower down. And just that communal lower down adding up with...
Still. All right, well, let me first tell you that both Top Gun and Courage Under Fire did not make the top five.
I am surprised. Yes. Okay.
Top Gun...
I'm going to re-guess.
Okay, Courage Under Fire had 21 points, including the four it got from me. And mm-hmm. Top Gun had 26. Okay, the next movie with the most has 27. Which, what would be your guess? Where would you go with 27?
Just looking at my list, I had You've Got Mail as being next.
You are correct. Very good, Jay.
Hooray.
You got that right. You've Got Mail. All right, then, so what would be number four on the list with 29 points?
Sleepers in Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You see, this sort of takes away from the fun of it that you actually took notes. But that's Jay. You know, I would probably do the same thing.
I've got no idea what the next two are. So I think I've got When Harry Met Sally in number one, and then I don't know what two films.
Well, number two and three are both tied at 31 points. Okay, one of them being Joe versus the Volcano.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So I had that number three.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then what's the other one?
Genuinely, like City of Angels. I don't know.
Nope. Innerspace. And Innerspace,
oh, okay.
It wasn't anyone's number one, but it still, you know, was able to... Joe vs. the Volcano had two number ones.
Right.
But Innerspace was able to tie it. And then When Harry Met Sally, how many points do you think When Harry Met Sally gets? Remember the point system, just to let everyone know, the point system works that, you know, for every number five, you get 1 point, four, 2 points, three, 3 points, two, 4 points, and one, 5 points. So how many points?
With 19 guests and yourself, it could have a total of 100 points, I think. Are there 20 lists compiled here? Is it more than 20? Oh, no, because you've had like multiple guests sometimes, so it's more than 100.
There are 23.
23, okay, so it could have up to 115 points. So of those 100, I reckon it's got, I'm going to say, an even 100.
Okay, well, first of all, there are four people who don't have When Harry Met Sally on their list at all.
The fools.
Possibly. So I shouldn't say their names. and there are 12 people, including both of us, that have it as their number one.
Okay. So how many points did it get?
80 points.
80 points. Okay. That's respectable.
Yes. Yes. All right. Moving along to our next group of top fives, we have Harry Burns Hunt Day. So we have the... Billy Crystal movies. So what do you think my top five are going?
Okay, so again, I haven't seen many of his films, but I don't think you would have included some of the smaller roles that people include. So I don't think you're going to have the This Is Spinal Tap or Princess Bride on your list. So my guess is, whatever your number four might be here. I'm going to guess your number five is Parental Guidance, four is Monsters, Inc., three, City Slickers, two, Analyze This, and one would be When Harry Met Sally.
Jay, once again, you are so wrong.
Yeah, I figured I would be.
Okay, you have two that are on my list.
Okay, well, I look forward to finding out what the rest are.
All right, so number five is Monsters University. I didn't see, I like that one more than I like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, that was on my list too.
Yes, I know. I know. But that was your number one.
Yeah.
Then my number four is The Princess Bride.
Oh, okay.
Which was number two on your list. Basically, we're working backwards so far. My number three was Running Scared.
Yes, okay.
Which is such a fun movie. I'm a big fan of that one. Bill Crystal, Gregory Hines. The plot itself isn't that great, but it's just so much fun having the two of them there and their comedy antics that go throughout the entire movie, which I think is great. My number two is City Slickers, and my number one is When Harry Met Sally.
Of course.
Of course, exactly. All right, so there were a total of 15 movies plus two extras that were listed by, you know, all of my guests. The top, which movies do you think are the top five based on your your own work?
Based on me just listening to what people bring up the most on the show, I've got 5 Spinal Tap, 4 Monsters, Inc., 3 City Slickers, 2 When Harry Met Sally, 1 The Princess Bride.
Well, you're close there. Okay. Spinal Tap is not on that list.
Okay.
So number 5 with 29 points is Analyze This.
Okay,
and it has only one top slide on that one. City Slickers is tied with Monsters, Inc. Both of them have 48 points. Now, what movie do you think has 67 points?
When Harry Met Sally.
Nope.
Princess Bride.
There you go. Princess Bride has 67 points, and 70 points is When Harry Met Sally. So When Harry Met Sally basically, because of me, it basically, you know, passed the threshold and won. Otherwise, you know. But I don't think that that's too surprising that it's not that, you know, that When Harry Met Sally is the top on my list. But once again, there were this time 4 people who didn't list When Harry Met Sally as Billy Crystal's best work. So once again, that surprises me. But it's the way it is. All right, now we get to the final of the 3 top fives that I've done for this season, and that's Weekend Romance. So just to give you a little bit of a hint as to how many movies are on this list before you even try and guess my top five, okay, there are 71 movies on this list.
Yes, this isn't an easy one to predict. Yes. How many films got 1 point or only mentioned by one person?
Mentioned by one person will be more difficult to figure out. I mean, I could do it. It would just take a little bit of time.
I wasn't sure how your spreadsheet was set up. Okay, no worries.
No, my spreadsheet, I can you know, it's in Excel, so I can sort it without a problem. You know, so, you know, how many of these have, here, if we look at this. Actually, I can look at how many people, how many have only, you know, that their points are 1 through 5, because the assumption is, I know, that's not true either, because someone has a 4 and a 1. So there you go. That doesn't help either. Right. But let's say approximately 52 of the movies have 5 points or less. Okay, I think that's the best way to do that.
Okay.
I think that's the best way to look at it. Right. I mean, most of the points are very spread out here. You know, like we'll get to the top five in a second, but just so you know, the movie that was ranked number 5 on this list got 12 points. Okay. So the numbers aren't going to be very high. But I first wanted to see if you can try and guess what my 5 are going to be.
This feels like an impossible task, given that you are a fan of rom-coms. There are so many. And for me to try and pluck out your top 5.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Okay. So can you think of anything besides When Harry Met Sally? What do you think? Just throwing it out there. What do you think might
be? I know that you're. So When Harry Met Sally, I'm going to guess is your number 1. I think your number 2 might be The Apartment, because you're a fan of The Apartment. Serendipity might be in there. I think you've mentioned that you liked Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And While You Were Sleeping, I don't know.
Well, again, okay, this time you got 3 out of 5, so that's very good.
Okay.
I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Hooray.
Okay, so my number 5 was 4 Weddings and a Funeral.
Okay.
Which I love. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of British humor in general, but that movie is just hilarious.
How dare you.
I'm giving it a top 5. It's in the top 5 of 72 movies that are listed here. Come on. You got to give me a little bit of credit on that one.
Sure.
Don't worry. There's another half British one here. Okay. Number 4 is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You were correct about that.
All right.
That's just I love that movie. I think it says so much about, breakups and
It
things like
is the
that.
best film to end with a Dracula musical, Muppet musical, that
I
I
would
can think
love to
of.
see that full musical.
Me too.
The music is amazing, just for that one song, but still, I would love to see that. Number three, you were correct, is Serendipity.
Hey, a film I've never seen.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I love that movie. If, it would be something very far down on my list, but it would be on my list of something that I would want to do one day. But I doubt I'll ever get that far. So that's fine.
I'm sure Mark will be up for talking about that one. He's a fan too.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm trying to remember if Mark mentioned it. He probably did. Serendipity was listed by two other people, by Mark and Dana Nachman. There you go. There you
There we go. And
go.
I think Mark recently did an episode of Movies, Films, and Flicks on it.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Right. And then my number two is Notting Hill.
Okay, I was surprised.
Yes, I really enjoy that movie. I think it's great. It shows the idea of how, famous people can have real lives or not, and I think Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts are great in that movie together. I'm not the biggest fan of Julia Roberts, but I really like what she did in that movie. So that's why that's my number two. And my number one is When Harry Met Sally, as you properly guessed.
Yes, as everyone probably guessed, because you've
No.
just done 96 consecutive episodes about it.
There aren't that many people who listed it on their list of favorite
No, I mean,
rom-coms, but
as everyone listening probably guessed, it would be your number one, is
okay,
my
that's true.
first. Given
All right, that's fair. You're right.
that.
The apartment is literally number five and a half for me. It was something that I struggled with. It was on my list,
Okay.
and then I realized I had to bump it off, and I wasn't too happy about it. But what can you do? So, as I mentioned before, there are 72 movies on this list. Do you want me to go through the whole list, or it's not
No,
necessary? No.
I
Okay.
don't.
Okay. Anyone who wants to listen to that list, go back and listen to all the 95 episodes beforehand, or at least just the Friday episodes, and you'll be able to hear what all those movies are. Okay, so at 12 points, sorry, 12, we have a tie for 12 points. Basically, there is no number five. It's two number fours. Which two movies do you think will get there at only 12 points?
Okay, so this is based purely on listening and what I think has come up most often. I think you're going to have Notting Hill and My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Okay, we do have Notting Hill, but that's only obviously because I mentioned it now,
Yes,
because
I crossed out the holiday and put Notting
it just jumped it up.
Hill in.
Yes. What was the other one you just said?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
No, that's
No.
really low.
Okay, I know some people have mentioned it.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding was listed by two people. Each of them put
Oh,
it
okay.
as number four, and so it has a total of 4 points.
Yeah,
So
well,
yeah,
that's just
no.
bad on my part. Yeah.
That wasn't there. And then you mentioned The Holiday. The Holiday w got a total of 6 points. Two people put it at their number three slot. That's not
Okay.
it either. So, any other guess on what the other number four is besides Notting Hill?
Pretty Woman?
Very good. Good guess,
Oh,
Jay.
okay.
All right. Great. Okay. So, what is number three at 14 points?
I had Pretty Woman number three, so now I need to find something else to put there. So it's not going to be Serendipity because only three people said that, and they'll put it at one and two. I'll go with Love Actually.
Love Actually is at 9 points, tied with While You Were Sleeping. The two of those
I
got nine
see.
points.
And then I'll guess About Time. Then.
No, that also
Something that
is
has at least 5 points.
that has at least 5 points. I have a feeling it might only have 5 points. It has 5 points.
Oh, that's a shame. Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Very good, Jay. You finally got it.
Oh,
Number
wow.
at
Okay.
14 points, Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day
Which was
has
on my
one.
alternative list.
Okay. But that didn't count, so yeah.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day has actually one top slot. Only one of our guests wanted that one there. And I'm surprised
Was it Sean German?
it wasn't even someone who did a podcast on, it wasn't Sean and it wasn't a Bubbly, the two of them. So that's Groundhog Day. So what is number two on this list with 21 points?
Is it a Meg Ryan film?
No.
Okay.
It's a Billy Crystal
I
movie.
don't. Oh, it's a Billy Crystal film. It's a bit, America's Sweethearts?
No. Oh, that movie was terrible. I finally saw it for the first time.
I know. I was just trying to think of what other... Oh, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. Princess Bride.
Yeah.
With 21 points.
Of course. Yeah. Which is also on my alternate list.
And then we get When Harry Met Sally in the number one slot with 34 points.
Oh, okay. I didn't have that one, but okay.
Four people, including me, who listed it as their top movie. Two people listed it as their number two. And then three people listed it as their number four. So we got a total of 34 points for that. You'll actually be really happy when you listen to, you know, yesterday's episode, which I know you haven't yet because there's a reason for that, because I'm not recording this the night before. You have a movie that was listed there. Let's put it this way. A movie that you were potentially thinking of doing as a future Movies by Minute or Movies by Chapter or whatever you want to call it. Someone actually listed that.
Twister is not a rom-com. I'm sorry.
Well, you're going to have to listen to Jason yesterday explain why he thinks it is.
I'm going to debate this now. It's not a comedy. There are comedic scenes, as there are in pretty much every film, but it's not a bloody comedy. Yes,
well, as you'll see when you listen to yesterday's episode, as everyone has already seen, because they've already listened to it. Everyone but you has already listened to it before today. But
it's like saying Die Hard's a rom-com.
Most of his choices are very unique to him in all three lists.
Incorrect. Okay, good to know.
They might be incorrect, but I don't believe in incorrect, you know, because it's not a debate. It's a personal preference.
If somebody comes up to me and says the twist is a rom-com, I think they're incorrect.
Okay. His Meg Ryan movies were When Harry Met Sally. It's the only movie he put on his list.
Fine. If that's the only one he's seen, fine.
That's right. No, he said he couldn't remember any of the others because it's been so long since he's seen them.
That is a fair opinion to have, I would say.
Okay. That's right. completely. He had four movies listed for Billy Crystal. And the fourth one was Oscar host. So,
I mean, Letterboxd might allow you to put that as a film.
But some people have less time to watch movies than I do.
Compared to, yes, I think that's everyone.
Okay, that's fair. That's, you know,
maybe like Tarantino is even more.
That's true. There's a reason why, you know, my call sign is Movie Rob. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I live up to that name. How's that?
You do.
For better or for worse. You know, yes. Not many people have seen, you know, over 10,000 movies and reviewed them. But I still love the fact that, you know, I have more movies that are still pending reviews than most people have on their entire site. I have like 850 movies that are waiting to be reviewed.
I'd still suggest you just purge that list.
I can't do that. I can't do it. I'm a completionist. I can't do it, Jay. Okay. I think you know me well enough to know why. That's it, you know. But at least I'm not stopping in order to, you know, to take care of that. Anything else you want to say about When Harry Met Sally, Jay? Anything that you've learned over the course of the past 95 episodes that you wanted to bring up that you think might be interesting for me to know?
This is something I have shared with you before, but this is just more a comment. It's a compliment for the film that sounds like a critique of your podcast. It's not. This has been my least favorite season of your show to listen to, just because of how well written and well drawn the characters of Harry and Sally are. And listening to you and your guests talk about them, it feels like I'm listening to kind of people gossiping about my friends. I feel like I know
Harry and Sally so well. That's not why, like, is that exactly. That's a compliment.
That's what I'm saying. It is a compliment. It just sounds like it could be a critique because it's my least favorite season. This is why. It's because, like, you saw, he did this because, like he stopped talking to her because he couldn't be calling her. It sounds like you're talking about real people because they're so well drawn in the film, and I feel like I know them. This has just been, like, not uncomfortable is the wrong word, but, like, it's bordering on that to listen to sometimes. Like, these are my friends you're talking about. Stop talking about my friends.
Okay.
Whereas, like, Die Hard or Great Escapers or, like, Die Hard, Great Escape, it's more like, hey, he's climbing the thing, he's falling out of the thing, and they're digging it. It's more the things that they're doing than the emotions and the romance.
Right. I mean, this movie does have the most dialogue of the four movies that I've done so far, and, you know, including the fifth one, which I'm, you know, already more than a third of the way through recording. So, yes, this does have the most dialogue. This actually, I remember I mentioned this when I was recording with Jim when we were doing, when we had the, I think it was the split scene, you know, when right after they had sex.
Yeah.
That I had 4 pages of dialogue for that 1 minute, you know, which was just amazing. You know, I'd never really had to deal with so much dialogue in a minute.
Because four people were saying, talking for a minute all at the same time.
That's right. That's true. But hey, why not? It works. All right. No, I have a feeling that I'm not going to be revisiting the genre of rom-com in the near future. You know, I have a few seasons with ideas in mind of what I'm going to do, and that isn't on there right now.
Until you circle back around for serendipity minutes.
Maybe. As I said, it'll be a very long time from now. Okay. I know you have an idea more or less of what my plan is. You know, some of my guests might, some of my listeners might, you know, but little by little. You know, at this point, I'm only announcing what the next season will be. I'm not working on the following one yet. Anything else you want to say about this movie, Jay?
No.
Any other backhanded compliments?
I have enjoyed your coverage of it. It's a film I'd never thought I'd think about this deeply. And it's been entertaining to listen to. Thank you once again for having me on for 6 episodes.
Well, that you're there as the bookends. You know, you get the beginning and the end. So
this is going to hear me again in 2 days.
That's right. Okay, now how many? Here, I'm going to test you a little bit more again. Okay, how many minutes do you think we have discussed When Harry Met Sally? Now I'm taking into account that this episode is probably an hour. Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of leeway.
So you and I have done it like 5 hours worth, then.
Something like that. I mean, our first episode was 74 minutes.
Yep, I remember. So 96 minutes, reach my calculator. I'm going to assume...
You can't do this in your head, Jay? Come on. I know I can't, but I thought maybe you can.
I probably could. Fine. Calculator, thrown away. 96... Sorry about my dog. Yeah, he didn't like that. 96 minutes, roughly probably about 40 minutes an episode. So what's that going to be? 400, that's 384 minutes. And we'll chuck a few on top of that just because it's you. Let's say 416 minutes. 4,160
minutes. I was going to say, you left out a zero.
Got to carry the one.
Yes. No. So, no, not that many. So you're off by a little bit there. We have 3,585 minutes.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, which is a total of 59 hours and 75 minutes, or 59 hours and 45 minutes, basically. It's 59.75, you know, that type of thing. And where do you think that compares with the other movies that I've done?
Well, I'm going to guess it's less than Die Hard and less than The Great Escape, because those are much longer films. But probably similar to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, another appropriately length film.
It's 7 hours more than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay.
Okay, it's 7 hours less than The Great Escape. And it is 20 hours less than Die Hard.
Ridiculous. The Great Escape is an hour longer than Die Hard.
Well, no, but then, okay, now we'll get to the second thing. What are the average, you know, what do you think the average episode is? How long is the average episode of this movie? Do you want me to first tell you the averages of the other three?
Nope. So for When Harry Met Sally, you said it was 3,500 and something minutes. Oh, I divide that by 96. So it's going to be about 37 minutes.
That's very good, Jay. It's 37.34. There you go. Great. Excellent, Jay. And it is right now, these are the longest episodes of any of the four seasons. On average, obviously. Okay. The next one is basically it each subsequent season, you know, my episodes just get longer and longer. Because When Harry Met Sally, so it's 37.34. Die Hard was 36.2. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was 33.8. And The Great Escape, the average episode was 23 and a half minutes.
It's called podcast creep. When your episodes get longer and longer, the more you record. It is a term that actually exists, and it's something that I've been trying to prevent on the shows that I record, often with failure.
That's because you podcast with Mark.
Yeah, well, not always. The longest that's episode on Deep Within the Podcast did not have Mark on it. It was just me and Emily talking about Shark Inverness for an hour and a half.
You said it's called podcast creep?
Yes, it's a term I've heard. I think it's
I just
thing.
Did a search for it. I didn't come up with anything with it. It gives me all these podcasts named creep.
Maybe it's something I heard somewhere and then it stuck in my brain and it means something else. Oh, well.
Could be. No, I'm very curious to know what that's called because obviously, you know, I have a problem with this. Because I'm doing that. I mean, I wonder if...
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a long podcast sometimes.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I hope and I believe that, you know, that all the conversations that I've had, you know, over these 50, almost 60 hours of this movie, you know, have been interesting for people to listen to. And that's why they continue to listen. Let's hope. Yeah, I could be wrong. We'll just have to keep hoping that. And I can't give you the average yet for the next season because I do have 30 episodes done, but still they're not edited, so I don't have the exact numbers. So, all right. So I want to at this point thank all of my guests this season. So thank you very much. I will go in order and thank everyone. So thank you, Nick Rehack, Brian Lockhart, David Brook, Brett Stillo, Alan Sanders, The Midnight Boys, Joe, Rob, and Duff. Thank you to Duncan Shields, Lisa Lihe, Jess Rogers, Heather Baxendale, Bubba Wheat, Todd Liebenau, Tierney Steele, Mark Hoffmeyer, Jim O'Kane, Sean German, Roger Wister, and Marcy Wister. Alan Sanders for stepping up a second time when I needed another guest, very short notice. Dana Nachman, Eric Jack Nash, Jason Sturczyk, and obviously thank you to my bookend, Jake Lewitt, who helps make this a lot of fun. You know, thank you for joining me for the first five episodes of each season and for the final episode to recap everything. I hope you don't just do this because, you know, for political reasons and that you and you actually enjoyed doing this.
I do. I have just been tracking through the internet and I found there's a podcast called The Matinee Cast, which they talked about podcast creep on there. That's where I read it. Is it? When was this? Like 6 years ago, and it's a term that's just stuck in my head since then.
No, that's fine. The phenomenon of podcast creep,
where a familiarity and a comfort sends the runtime of a given show climbing into longer runtimes as the podcast continues through the months. There we go.
And do they say this is a good thing or a bad thing?
It's the host of that podcast talking about how he's noticed it, so he's not commenting upon it.
Okay. That is fair. That is definitely fair. All right, so everyone who shouldn't be surprised at this point, you know, you have one day off. Tomorrow there will be no episode unless somehow someone, one of the actors that I've contacted over this season or for the next season have contacted me, and then I'll give a surprise episode. But I highly doubt that within the short time we have until then that will happen. But if it does, why not? You might get surprised, but you probably will not have another episode tomorrow. But please come back on Monday, because Monday we'll be starting season 5, which will be Die Hard 2, which is obviously not a surprise to anyone who has been listening to this season, because I've mentioned it quite often. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for, you know, coming back on a daily basis, 5 days a week, sometimes a little more, you know, to have to listen to what I have to say along with my guests about When Harry Met Sally. Like I said, I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope to have you all come back. Please, you know, feel free to always, send me feedback. It could be positive feedback. It could be negative feedback. Either way, you know, I did have an episode that someone sent me feedback right after the episode, and I went in and did an amendment to the episode and added an extra, I think, 10 minutes to that episode in order to correct myself, because I had apparently gotten something wrong. So feel free to let me know if you think I got something wrong, and I'm willing to own up on it. At any point think that I'm an expert on every single subject that I discuss here. So feedback from my listeners is always helpful. So Jay, thank you very much for joining me. Do you want to tell people where they can find Jay Kluwit?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So as you mentioned at the top of the show, I host Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, where my co-host Mark Offenbar and I have gone through all the Deep Blue Sea trilogy scene by scene. We're looking at Deep Blue Sea adjacent films, like one per episode, or Deep Blue Scenes, which is a scene in a film that's like Deep Blue Sea in some way, like it's in Jurassic Park that have water in them, that kind of thing. Con Air, the podcast, we've almost finished. We only have like 5 episodes left to record.
Wow.
Which isn't a week's worth, that's a month's worth for us, but we'll be done in July, is the plan. And then we're going to focus more on Deep Blue Sea. And I host Lampity over on the Lambcast, which is movie trivia based on Jeopardy. His season is a little up in the air in terms of when it's being recorded and when it's being released. It's less frequent than I'd like.
That's well, come on, we're in May and we've had one episode so far. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one every 5 months. Oh, that works. That's fine. Life vs. Film with my personal site, not a lot tends to happen there, especially in the middle of the year. Come back in December or January. Yes. And you can
January
find
1st,
me on Twitter.
You'll get Jay's New Year's resolutions.
You tend to get the resolutions in like mid-February sometimes. Life vs. Film is my Twitter, at JAYCLUIWT is my Instagram, Jake Lewitt. And I guess that's about it, really. Yeah, find me online. I'm around.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, please go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that might be listening to this show. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And I think this is also another great point in the show to once again give a shout out to the Movies by Minute community, which is, you know, what basically started me off on this and started Jay also, and a lot of my guests who have their own Movies by Minute podcasts were started by the whole idea of doing things movies by minute, largely because of Pete and Alex who do the Star Wars Minute. There are currently, if you go to the website Movies by Minute, there are currently 235 movies listed there that are Movies by Minute podcasts. You can go there, find maybe your favorite movie. Also, besides listening to my show and to Jay's show, you can then listen to these other shows. And if for some reason, as our good friend Jim O'Kane always likes to say, if you don't see your favorite movie on that list, so why don't you go ahead and start your own podcast? You know, many of us who are a little more experienced doing this are willing to help out, willing to give advice when needed. There is a Facebook group for the Movies by Minute community that you can get into to get tips on how to do it and, you know, what software to use and what programs to use and also to get guests if that's what you need. So I think it's a great place to if you're a person who likes listening to movies by minute. All right. So until that's it for this season. So I want to once again thank Jay for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And I will be back on Monday with surprise, surprise. My guest will be Jay Kluwit all week. So you get a break of me and Jay tomorrow, and then Monday we'll be back, and you'll get us all the way through Friday where we get to talk about the first 5 minutes of Die Hard 2. So until Monday, I'll have what she's having.
I've enjoyed having what she's had.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.